Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, very interesting numbers from the snow event, which began about 10 o'clock last night, off and on. We must be in the banana belt of the foothills because, I don't know, I see everybody's picture on Facebook. It looks like they've got a lot of snow. We had maybe a quarter of an inch to a half an inch, just a kind of a nice little dusting. But some of these numbers, Tom Fairbanks, are pretty impressive.
Have you in front of you these numbers?
Well, I Steve
the
Christie.
Only one, the only one that I remember from the forecast information that I was just reviewing was the airport recorded an inch.
Yeah, they had a full inch, and Vail, we'll confirm this when we have Dr. David Levy on at 12:30. I think they had 6 or 7 inches. Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie is with me in studio. First of all, good afternoon, Steve.
Same to you, Bill. Thank you.
This pretty big snow event up on the mountain, wasn't it?
It sure has been, and they've had, this is the second of two pretty blockbuster storms. And right now, the General Hitchcock Highway, the Mount Lemmon Highway, is closed except for residents and employees. So it's still significantly impacted by the storm, to the point where we just talked this morning to our flood control contact, as well as Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service. They had 24 inches of snow as a result of both these storms, and that's in the village of Summerhaven. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine what's on the other side at Ski Valley, much more than that. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful because of the snowpack and the melt
And the runoff,
moisture and all of that. Mm-hmm. But it does kind of, from time to time, hamper the businesses that rely on the tourists and the visitors to either go skiing or frequent their restaurants. But all in all, I think it's better to have a lot of snow at this time of year.
Definitely.
That soaks deep into the ground and prevents a lot of problems coming up in the hotter months.
Yeah, I know a lot of my Facebook friends are so worried about the vegetation. I think the vegetation's going to be fine because this was like around 32, maybe 31 degrees. But what happens with that snow, it's almost like an insulator blanket. And when it melts off, it's a nice moisture bed for the plants. So, well, I think everything's going to be okay there. Go ahead.
I think the latest temperature is somewhere around 24 degrees right now. So
up on the mountain.
Up on the mountain.
Yeah, up on the mountain for sure. Yeah, that's a different story.
And just for everybody's information, if they want to know about road conditions to go up to Mount Lemmon and Summerhaven, they can call the Pima County Sheriff's Department at 547-7510, and that'll give them the latest information. And certainly don't try to traverse up through Mount Lemmon to Mount Lemmon on the highway when it's under these conditions, and particularly when the sheriff says it's closed.
Great news on the snowpack, especially in California. I have a friend that is up at Don or Lake Tahoe area, and he had a picture on Facebook of, he's got this big window. It's 15 feet tall, Steve, and it's complete snow. The snowpack is like right now up there 15 to 20 feet. So this is great this time of year.
Well, we can't forget that just not long ago they had that horrific fire.
So hopefully this will perhaps delay the start of the fire season. Our show is in its 13th year. Today is Thursday. It's March 2nd, 2023. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. We have 12 years of content that is now archived on the website. When we do our telephone interviews, that is presented by our friends over at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Your administrative assistant, Beth Borazon, does such a great job for your office, Steve Christie. And now Beth has decided to tackle, and I'm glad she's doing it, tackle the issue of litter up on Mount Lemmon.
Well, yeah, and this was something that was resurrected because there was a time when we did not have the adequate funding to do this, but now we've been able to secure that. And some of the residents that Beth deals with directly up at Mount Lemmon reminded her of this project. And one of the biggest, if not the biggest issue that Summer Haven and Mount Lemmon and our Catalina recreation areas have is litter and trash.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just absolutely gotten out of control.
People just leave it.
They just leave it. And if you have a snowpack over the trash when it melts,
yeah,
it's
ugly.
Just awful.
It is ugly.
Beth had an idea some time ago that at least we could do is to keep the idea of responsibility of maintaining the beauty of the surrounding mountains and the village, to keep the trash out of there. And one way of doing that is to we're gonna generate and create garbage bags to be handed out by the Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers at Milepost 1 at the bottom of Mount Lemmon, that basically sends the message of if you're gonna take it in, make sure you take it out, pack it in, pack it out, and provide them with these garbage litter bags. At least to make some effort to not only remind people to take their garbage with them, but to actually help them do that. So,
will they be available every weekend? What is
their plan? Basically, they'll be deployed when the height of the season, when we get the most visitors up there, and we need the assistance of the Sheriff's Auxiliary, the volunteer group, to kind of control the crowd when there's maybe too many people up on the mountain or there's some issues up there, and they pass through the checkpoint at the base of the mountain with the auxiliary volunteers, and this is a great opportunity for them to pass out these garbage bags. So it's our way of trying to tell people, enjoy the mountain, but keep it clean, and if you have trash, don't leave it, bring it back out with you.
That's a great idea, and congratulations to Beth for following through on that. All right. The county there's a plan now to put up, let's see how many of these signs at intersections that will say no to panhandling, say yes to helping agencies serving those in need. I'm trying to see here in this article from the Star how many of these particular signs will be going up, but it's quite a few. Here they are, 32 signaled intersections these signs will be going up.
Yeah, this, of course, was something that was presented through the county administration. It was part of their ongoing efforts to try to deal with panhandling and criminal activity associated with street crimes. And people are very generous in Pima County, and it's a wonderful thing. But many people don't realize that they are exasperating the problem of panhandling by supporting it by giving panhandlers money.
Yeah.
And it just it reinforces their behavior, which is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So in an attempt to try to take some kind of proactive action, Pima County has reinstituted some signs that basically say, don't panhandle. If you want to give money to the cause, if you will, give it to social service agencies that handle problems with drug addiction and homelessness and displacement like this. So it's certainly not a cure. It's certainly not a panacea, but it's an effort, an attempt to bring awareness about the fact that when you give money to somebody standing on the street, it really doesn't go to their maintenance and upkeep. It goes to other more nefarious things. And the best way to handle that is not give them money. But if you want to give money, give it to like the Gospel Rescue Mission or other terrific not-for-profit agencies that focus on these things.
This is a resurrection of a campaign that really began in 2016. These signs, I guess, went up back then, because there is actually the board in 2016. You were not on the board at the time. The board passed an anti-panhandling ordinance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, the problem is enforcement and limited law enforcement resources to patrol that and to enforce it. So it kind of fell by the wayside, and there were a lot of issues surrounding panhandling and the right of folks to be there to do that. But it's gotten to be not only a danger to the panhandlers, but to traffic and drivers as well. And it's really something that it's not a healthy thing on so many levels, and it really needs to be addressed. And this is, I think, the county's first way to reinstitute a policy that was already in effect and to try to bring awareness about the dangers of panhandling and contributing to it.
And these people need help. The vast majority have all sorts of issues going for them, and they
panhandling does not cure those.
No,
needs.
And they would be better served by getting help from one of the great agencies that work in this community.
And if folks want to give money, give your money to them.
All right, let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, Steve Christie. You love Mona's. You wish Mona's was actually down in your district. You'd love to see an auxiliary or a satellite operation down in perhaps Sahorita or Green Valley.
Well, actually, it would be better if they put their home base down there, not just an auxiliary.
Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, because right now they're up in district supervisorial district number one. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Get there early, especially on the weekend. Things have been very busy, which is great for Steve and the team. But for the best selection, I would be there very early, especially on Sunday when they open at 7 o'clock. Also Saturday, they're open at 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday. They are closed Monday now, and they deserve a day off. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com, and they've redone the website. Wonderful color pictures on the website of everything on the menu to further tempt you, and you'll be ready when you walk in to Mona's Danish Bakery. More with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Okay, this weather event is over. Things are going to stabilize a little bit. Yes, it's been one of the coldest and wettest winters on record. Well, I think I saw something from the Weather Service. The 58th coldest. So that's been pretty cool. It's been right up there with some of the coolest. So things are going to start to improve now, actually today and on. We've got a cold night tonight, but then where I'm going with this is springtime gardening. This is a great opportunity this weekend with temperatures in the mid-70s to get over to Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com is their website. Their sister business is ZocaloVillage.com. Zocalo Village, beautiful merchandise from Mexico, some great Talavera pottery. Green Things in their 53rd year of business. A couple of more items that I want to kind of close the loop here on that we brought up. We brought up these trash bags that are going to become available for folks going up to Mount Lemmon. And where they can also get them, Steve Christie, with me in studio, once they get to the mount, right?
Yeah, they'll
on
be
top
avail-
of the mount.
They'll be available at the Mount Lemmon Community Center and at the Forest Service Visitor Center, in addition to being deployed by the auxiliary volunteers. So there's plenty of opportunities to utilize these trash bags. If anything else, carrying one around will remind people, if anything, don't leave your trash when you go up there and take it out with you.
I know you love being a Pima County supervisor.
Did I ever tell you that?
Yeah, you did tell me that. Of course, people still remember you from your previous life running the auto dealership. In fact, during the break, we had a call. Someone was curious about the dealership's closing on Sunday. Was this an agreement between you and the other stores? And I think that's how you and your colleagues refer to your business as your auto stores. Was there some agreement? Was it written out? What was the deal with the stores?
No, there was never any agreement. There was never anything in writing. It seemed to be a general consensus, and individual dealerships made up their own mind. There was nothing legal or punitive that any dealership could do against another dealership if that dealership chose to remain open on Sunday. So it was an individual choice by the individual dealer, but we have a very long business opening time from, you know, early in the morning. The service department opens at 7 or 6:30. One of your biggest issues is keeping your workforce satisfied and happy and energetic, and the long hours can really wreak havoc on you. And it also that's reflective of how they treat our customers. So I've always felt that it's important, particularly on a Sunday, that our employees, my employees at the time, had that day to spend with their employees, practice their faith if that was what they wanted to do, but to at least have a break. And a lot of the other dealerships seem to feel the same way. I don't know today what that procedure is with the other dealerships. If I've heard one or two might have started opening on Sunday, that's their choice.
Yeah, I've seen some of maybe the smaller independents seem to be.
Yeah, and even some of the major ones. I've been out of the business for so long.
I know. You've been out of the business so long, but people remember you as Steve Christie, Jeep and Chrysler. It's amazing how the early branding in our careers really stays with us. I have people come up all the time, say, Bill Buckmaster, I see you on TV all the time. Well, I've been gone from Channel 6 for now 12 full years. But people do remember these things.
They do, and it's been 15 years for me. And it's a tribute to my advertising agencies. At the time, all that money we spent on advertising people still remember me.
And they still remember you, and they still
and
give
they,
you...
And they have no idea that I'm a Pima County supervisor.
No, they have no idea. They don't know what you do now. They don't understand what a supervisor even does.
Which county it is.
Which county... Well, we do know it is Pima County.
Well, we know that.
We know that, and we know you're a supervisor, and we know you have an opinion on the Pima County Jail.
Yes.
And there is now a group that's going to be evaluating whether or not we need a new jail. You were the lone vote against this, not because you didn't think perhaps we need a new jail. This has been confusing for the public. They think that, oh, he just thinks keep it as is.
Well, that's certainly a mischaracterization.
But they do, there are a lot of people that think
And I would have to take responsibility for not being more clear on my position. I am not against the idea or concept of a new jail. A matter of fact, what I've seen and heard from Sheriff Nanos, I've heard a couple of his presentations. I understand that it is a crisis situation. There is a horrific problem with the physical plant of the jail. And Sheriff Nanos has been very eloquent in and articulate about describing it. And I think if it's warranted, that would be great. But put I think this Blue Ribbon Commission that has been voted into service, I think is missing is that the first and foremost item that we should be centering on is the actual condition of the physical plant. And I proposed that instead of creating this commission now, let's get half a dozen engineers, construction experts working independently, pay them a stipend like you would a lawyer or an accountant, but they work independently to analyze the actual condition of the physical plant and provide ideas of what it would take to A, rehabilitate the current one, or B, to tear down the old one and build a brand new one. I don't feel right about proposing anything unless we know what the numbers are and what it's going to cost the taxpayers. I've noticed on this Blue Ribbon Commission, there is only one representative on this commission that from the construction industry. And that, to me, does not lead to very good optics for, let's say, down the road, that one construction company on this Blue Ribbon Commission, we find that he's awarded, that company is awarded to build the new jail. That does not lend itself to transparency or credibility in the public's mind. And once we could get this determination from half a dozen independently working contractors, independently providing the public and the Board of Supervisors and the community the costs of A, fixing the jail, or B, building it, I think then we can move on. The other thing that I have is I'm very concerned that this commission is going to devolve its discussion away from the jail physical plant itself and start talking philosophically and politically
social justice issues
about jail practices, jail population, sentencing, rehabilitation, all these things which I really think are in the purview of our sheriff. He is, after all, duly elected, the highest ranking law enforcement official. He should run his own jail, and that discussion always worries me because it probably involves defunding certain elements of law enforcement, cutting back in sentencing issues, letting people go early from their sentences. These kinds of things worry me when you bring in a commission, but let's center on the cost of fixing the jail or building a new one first, and that's going to take some independent contractors, independent engineers and construction people that can provide us that information.
So you're not saying that you're fine with the way the jail is right now?
Oh, absolutely. The jail's a mess. There's no question about it. And there is a very toxic environment on both sides of the bar. And certainly the corrections officers have the most difficult, most challenging job in law enforcement. And they're understaffed, they're underpaid, they're overworked, and that whole element and that environment on that side of the bars is creating problems that does not lend itself to good correctional enterprises by these professionals when they have no time off, they're working 14, 15 hours a day, multiple shifts, mistakes are going to be made, as Sheriff Nanos has pointed out. And these issues also, you know, when you have a working condition such as the current jail, it's not a great incentive to get up and go to work. And then,
no,
you know,
no.
So all of these things need to be put into a certain silo. But the first thing is, let's figure out what it's going to cost the taxpayers.
Okay. Steve Christie, great to see you. Thanks for being with us. Hope you, the rest of your day is a good one. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Renowned comet discoverer and former Parade Magazine science editor David Levy joins us on the live line from his home in Vail, Arizona, which I understand had 6 to 7 inches of snow over in Vail on the far east side there. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Time to start thinking about spring and a getaway over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, after the weather front moves through. Wow, the Gila National Wilderness this spring is going to be so pretty. All greened up and waiting for your visit to do some hiking, some recreating in a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. First stop, before you make the 3-hour drive, I suggest logging on to Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org, for where to stay, what to do, where to dine, great opportunities to get in some R&R. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studio. Our telephone interviews are live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now to Vail, Arizona, on the live line to Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and the founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. David, I guess you had a little bit of snow over there.
Oh, boy, did we ever. We think we got 4 inches.
Whoa.
Last night. It really was coming down as a blizzard. Really exciting.
Well, some areas around you actually had 6 to 7, so...
I wouldn't be surprised,
yeah.
But we did get quite a bit, and it's still here.
All right. Well, I had an opportunity in between... Well, before the clouds really kind of socked in the area last night, went outside about 6:30 and saw the conjuncture of Jupiter and Venus. Very cool.
Yeah, I was plagued by clouds, and I was driving home, but on the way, the clouds broke, and I was able to get a picture of it. The interesting thing about great conjunctions of Venus and Jupiter is this one was pretty close, but there was one in June of 2 BCE where the two planets were so close they were virtually touching.
Really?
And... Wow. Some scholars interpret this as being the Christmas star.
Mm.
And I think it's the most popular interpretation of what the Christmas star that attracted the Magi might have been.
Well, that would have been
I was listening on
very bright.
Also last night to the news on National Public Radio, and they were telling us how this conjunction shows how minuscule we are. And on that, I'd like to... disagree respectfully. And I would like to say that even though there are more galaxies and groups of galaxies and superclusters of galaxies in the universe than there are grains of sand in all the beaches of the Earth, we are not insignificant. And I'd like to posit the idea that each of us is unique. There is no copy of Bill Buckmaster anywhere in the universe.
Thank you.
I think that's an important thing. Each of us is unique.
Well, I think it's a good point to think about our world and our world being quite unique, right, David?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
David, what about what's going on with the comets? What is this one I'm hearing about? Starts with, is it a Z, like zebra?
ZTF, the Zwicky Transit Facility. It is a project on Palomar Mountain designed to discover exploding suns called supernovae and comets. And it was actually named for Fritz Zwicky, who is one of the great astronomers of the 20th century and a founding scientist of Palomar Observatory. When he started with the 18-inch, which is the same telescope we used to find Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9, he was actually he knew of only 12 supernovae that had been discovered in history. And when he was finished, he discovered 120 of them.
Wow.
Plus one other that he shared with someone else. So 121 supernova discoveries that he made. Really, really wonderful.
Is that...
And there are two of them. I was able to see both of the ZTF comets. They're named for the facility, not for the man. One of them, of course, is the bright one that I've been following. And then there's a fainter one that I've also been watching. It's really very nice that there are two of them around.
That's kind of unusual, right? Two comets that you're following?
Yeah, the two of them that are with the same name.
The next meteor shower, and we'll probably discuss this in our first Thursday of the month in April, the Lyrids.
That's the Lyrids. You're actually right, Bill.
Yeah.
The Lyrid meteors will be in at the end of April, and I'm counting the days to go out and look for them, and I hope the snow will be gone by then.
I think so.
And I imagine it'll be gone later today, but yeah. Still.
It certainly was up at our house. It was gone by the time I headed into the station at 10 o'clock.
Oh, it's still here, though. It's still here at this place.
All right. It's time for the quote of the month from Dr. David Levy on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Dr. Levy.
The quote of the month is from Robert Louis Stevenson. I wanted to find a poem about books, and it was very hard to find one until I found this one. There in the night where none can spy, all in my hunter's camp I lie, and play at books that I have read till it is time to go to bed. These are the hills, these are the woods, these are my starry solitudes, and there the river by whose brink the roaring lions come to drink. I see the others far away, as if in firelight camp they lay, and I, like to an Indian scout, around their party prowled about. So when my nurse comes in for me, home I return across the sea and go to bed with backward looks at my dear land of storybooks. This was published in 1913. Absolutely delightful poem, I think.
It is, and it's very appropriate because books will be the focus of the 14th Annual Tucson Book Festival, which gets
underway.
Absolutely. Yep.
Just in a couple of days.
Yep.
Thank you for pointing that out, Bill.
Very serendipitous that you would have that as the quote of the month. Dr. David Levy, thank you very much. We'll talk to you in April. Thanks, David.
Take care and have a good month.
Thank you very much.
Don't forget to do your taxes.
Oh, yes. That's coming up for sure. All right.
Yeah.
Before we take the break, I do want to mention, speaking of books, we're going to be devoting our Friday Focus interview tomorrow, kind of a preview of the book festival. One of my favorite writers, Tom Zollner, will be with me in studio talking about his new book, Rim to River. Tom actually did the whole Arizona Trail from the top of Arizona right down to the bottom, did the whole thing, walked the whole trail. It's a great book and a great tale, and we'll have Tom on tomorrow talking about it and books and book festivals. And it wasn't so long ago, Tom Fairbanks, and I'm sure you remember, that people were saying when the internet came along, hey, it's the end of people actually buying hardcover books.
And wasn't there the time when the computers came along that they were saying that computers were going to do away with paperwork?
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. I don't know. We just have to live our lives and take things as they come, I guess.
Yes, we do. And books, very popular, as evidenced by the big crowds. Over 100,000 people expected at the book festival on Saturday and Sunday at the University of Arizona. Coming up next, it is the first Thursday of the month. That means our legal contributor, Don Luce, will be on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, after we take our break. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a snow day that's quickly turning into a sunny afternoon day and somewhat normal in southern Arizona, depending on where you are. Joining us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, attorney Don Luce of Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, and I might add what you not only need to know, you should know. Both books are in their second printing. Don Luce, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Bill. Good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you very much. Always a pleasure. There's a debate going on up in Phoenix, up at the legislature, whether or not the whole idea about taxing grocery store items. Some cities do it, some don't. What is the thinking on this, Don Luce?
Well, the legislature is considering a bill. It's actually Senate Bill 1063. That has now passed the Senate. They're considering this bill, which would prohibit cities and towns from imposing a sales tax on food purchased for home consumption. So, by way of background, the state of Arizona since 1980 has not taxed food purchases. The cities and towns have been allowed to continue to tax food purchases based on their own local ordinances and tax laws. So for instance, oh, and by the way, this generates more than $160,000 a year for Arizona cities and towns. So
161 million, you said thousand.
Yes, sorry, yeah, million.
Okay. Yeah.
So this constitutes a very large portion of a lot of the cities and town budgets. In fact, in some towns, it's up to 20% of the total budget, the revenue that they generate from taxing food purchases. Under Senate Bill 1063, which I mentioned has now passed the Senate and is headed to the House, cities and towns would no longer be allowed to tax food purchased for home consumption. So there presumably would be a gap in their tax base, which of course, is used for things like providing first responder services, police, fire, and so forth. So the thinking is that the proponents of this bill, I believe, are thinking that despite that, if cities and towns no longer taxed food purchases, the working poor would benefit directly and significantly, because they would be allowed, of course, to purchase their food items without the imposition of a tax, which in some cases is between 5 and 10%. So it's designed, I think, to benefit those who can least afford a tax on food purchases. But here's the thing. If the cities and towns have this budgetary hole because the state prohibits them from taxing food, then there's nothing to prevent them from increasing taxes on other things. So theoretically, they could increase property tax, or they could increase their other sales tax. The problem is, well, not the problem, but the issue is this from a policy perspective good? Because on the one hand, yes, people will be able to purchase food in grocery stores without the imposition of a sales tax by the city or town in which the store is located. But on the other hand, the governmental unit that is no longer receiving these types of sales taxes may be forced to increase taxes on other things. And those increased taxes on other things may have a more disproportionate effect than what the tax on food would have. So it's not really clear cut as to how the governor would view this if it came across her desk. As you know, Bill, the legislature is controlled not by wide margin, but it's controlled by Republicans. The governor, of course, is a Democrat. So there may be a veto even if this bill passes the House and gets sent on to the governor. You and I talked last month about a companion bill. This one is 1063, and the companion bill was 1184. And that one would have prohibited cities and towns from taxing residential rentals.
Yes.
That actually made it to the governor's office, and the governor vetoed that similar bill. So whether the governor would sign a bill that prohibits cities and towns from taxing groceries is an open question, and she hasn't indicated one way or the other as of this point.
And Tucson has no food tax. However, Sierra Vista does. Some of the areas that are within the range of this radio station, Nogales, would take a almost 14% hit if there was no tax on the food. So you're right. There would be a hole in these budgets for some of these smaller cities that they would pretty much decide we've got to make that up somewhere.
Exactly. So you had mentioned the percent in Nogales. Globe has a food tax that amounts to about 16% of its total sales taxes. Safford has about 19% of its total taxes coming from grocery sales. So this is a very significant percentage of the cities and towns, you know, tax income comes from grocery sales. If you take that away, well, their budgets are based on that tax. So you take that away, and now they have this very large gap that I would suggest they may look to fill with other types of taxes.
All right, let's see if we can also get in one more piece of legislation that's getting a lot of attention. The Senate on Wednesday, yesterday, gave preliminary approval to setting the maximum length of payments for those looking for work at no more than 12 weeks at any time during the state's seasonally adjusted jobless rate that has been 5% or less from the prior quarter. Can you make some sense out of this for our listeners, Don Luce?
Okay. So I have, first of all, I have a fearless prediction, and I'll let you hold my feet to the fire if I'm wrong on it.
Okay.
This legislation, even if it passes the Senate, it's gotten preliminary Senate approval, and even if it passes the House and is sent to the governor's office, I think is dead on arrival.
Yeah.
This legislation would trim significantly the amount of time that unemployed Arizonans can collect unemployment benefits. And so here, here are the terms of Senate Bill 1167, which I mentioned has gained preliminary Senate approval and is then going to be sent to the House. So right now, if you're unemployed, because we're in about a 4% unemployment range, you're entitled to collect benefits for up to 24 weeks. And you're entitled to collect up to $320 a week. That's what the state provides. Under this proposal, if we had the same unemployment rate, as you pointed out, that 24 weeks would be cut in half to 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So the maximum that an unemployed Arizonan could collect unemployment benefits under this proposal would be 12 weeks. Now, if the unemployment rate rises to above 5%, then the 12 weeks gets extended based on what the unemployment rate is at the time, up to 8.5% unemployment, not to exceed 20 weeks under any circumstance, which, as you know, is about 5 months. So right now it's 26 weeks maximum. That would be cut to 20 weeks, even in periods of extremely high unemployment. And as I fearlessly predicted, if the Republican legislature does send this to Governor Hobbs' office, I don't think this bill is going to be signed into law.
I'm going to try to work one more in. A first-term Republican lawmaker from Phoenix wants to expand state law that provides a tax credit for children. Can you give us I've only got about a minute, and I probably shouldn't have even brought it up. It's pretty complicated, but bottom line, Don Luce?
If you're pregnant and you don't give birth in the before December 31st, but you're pregnant during part of that year under this bill, which is House Bill 2501, you would be entitled to a partial credit, income tax credit, for the year in which you were pregnant. So, for instance, right now, if you have a child who's younger than 17, you get $100 per year income tax credit if your income is under $200,000. Under this proposal, that would be extended to periods of time in which you were pregnant but did not have the child during the year. You would still get a portion of that $100 credit. So it's sort of like, who is the person?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a different subject. But under this proposal, the credit would be extended for pregnant women who didn't give birth during the tax year. And it's estimated that if this passes, it will cost the state about $2.5 million per year.
All right, Don Luce, did you get some snow at your place?
Oh, my God, yes. I woke up this morning. It was like a white Christmas.
Winter wonderland, right? Shades of your days in the upper Midwest, Don Luce.
My God, it's March, right?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Don. We'll look forward to seeing you in a month or so. All right. Don Luce of the Luce Law Firm offices in Tucson and Phoenix. That's going to wrap it up. On behalf of Mr. Luce and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey's popular show on money is next.